Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Sometimes an Australian family will decide to travel around their vast country to visit important places and show their children the history of their homeland. The family's father often takes time off from his job for a year and prepares a caravan for the tour. The children can't miss out on school, so arrangements are made for them to do their lessons by correspondence. When all is ready, the family sets off. Sometimes the younger children don't understand the adventure that they're planning to do. Only a few hours into the journey, such a child will ask their mum and dad, "Are we nearly there yet?" This same question must have been on the lips of each Israelite child making the long journey back from Babylon to their home city of Jerusalem. The people rejoiced that they were free to leave exile in Babylon and return to their own country. The excitement of starting out on such a long trip may have soon turned into fear of the unknown and unexpected troubles ahead. In the evenings after the tents had been put up for the night, stories from Israel's past history were taught to the children. It was also a habit of the Israelite people to sing songs as they journeyed along. In the time of Jesus, the people sang 15 psalms as they travelled from their homes to go to Jerusalem for the festivals of worship. These were called the Feasts of Passover, Pentecost and Tabernacles. Psalms 120 to 134 in our Bibles are the songs that they sang. And what encouragement they can be to all of us when we too are going through tough or uncertain times.
What a wonderful thing. We're free and on our way back to Jerusalem. High hopes fill the heart of every man, woman, and child here. Marvelous, marvelous.
Tell me a story, Grandfather, please.
Well, I sure will, my child. Tonight, around the campfire. All right?
Sure, Grandfather. Will you tell me a story now, Grandfather?
All right. Once upon a time, there lived in the land of Mesopotamia a man named Abraham. Now, Abraham loved and obeyed God. When God told him to arise and get out of Mesopotamia unto a land he would be shown, Abraham, in faith, left Mesopotamia. Finally, he arrived in Canaan, the land of promise. The first thing he did was build an altar to...
It took 10 plagues before the king of Egypt would let Moses and the people leave, Grandfather?
10? Yes, my dear. And again, it was only by faith and a miracle that the children... The entire history of Israel, my dear, is full of faith and miracles. Once again, as we march to Jerusalem from Babylonian captivity, faith and miracles are responsible. We are going back home to Jerusalem. That in itself is a miracle.
As the long line of marchers entered Jerusalem, a strange silence encompassed them. They hardly recognized their own loved city. The massive walls, the temple, the marketplace, the king's palace, private homes, all were in ruin, burned to the ground or torn asunder by the army of Nebuchadnezzar.
The beautiful temple! Nothing but a pile of ruins!
I thought Jerusalem was surrounded with walls. There's nothing but piles of stone and dirt.
Scattered stones, rubble, charred ruins. That's all that remains of our beautiful city.
So this is Jerusalem.
People of Israel, this is Jerusalem, our city. The city of our fathers, God's own city. In ruins, yes, but this should be no surprise to any of us. We were told and should have known. It is our pleasure and duty to rebuild it. Once again, make it a city of beauty and wealth. the center of commerce. So peoples of the world passing through will hear of the great God of Israel. To find Jerusalem in ruins, especially the temple, is a great disappointment to many of you, I know. But it need not be, it should not be. For to you is given the task of rebuilding. Dedicate yourselves to the be grateful that God has forgiven the past and has again given us Judah for an inheritance. Joshua the high priest and I shall build an altar upon the spot where Solomon built the original altar. It will be the first time in many, many years that an offering has been offered upon the sacred spot. Give thanks unto the Lord!
Now that the people have scattered abroad to reestablish their homes or to find new ones, it is time the rebuilding of the temple and the city began. I am sure you agree.
You've been sent for in here because each of you has a talent and is skilled in a special art.
Your skill is needed at this particular time. Later, other skilled men will be called as needed.
I'm quite sure that you all know that the Lord our God has moved upon the hearts of our own people, upon the people of Babylon and upon Cyrus the king, to be generous in free will offerings. There are sufficient funds and more to obtain the material to begin the building of the temple.
Some of you will be sent to Zidon and Tyre to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the seaport of Joppa. Cyrus, the king of Persia, has already granted these trees unto us.
There is money in abundance for our own masons and carpenters.
Workmen have been appointed to clear the debris away from the site of Solomon's wrecked and torn down temple.
Each of you hasten to do the task given you. By the time the material is here, the temple site will be cleared and ready for the laying of the foundation.
May I say that the people of Israel are awaiting with great anticipation the time when, with the temple rebuilt, they may behold the shining forth of God's glory from within, as it did of old.
Youth and the aged, the poor and the rich, princes and common men, Israelites in all walks of life gathered on a certain morning at the site of the temple, now but a pile of rubbish, to begin clearing it away so that a foundation and a new temple might be built.
A return from captivity meant a lot to the Israelites as they travelled toward Jerusalem. Some had seen the city when they were young, but many had not and relied on the stories told to them of how the temple, king's palace and protecting walls had looked. The people had high hopes of a new beginning in this new stage of their lives. When we look at the history of most nations around the world, there's usually a noticeable rise to power and importance as a trading nation, followed by problems within the nation and then a slow decline. Most of these nations never come to world leadership again. From a human point of view, the history of the world goes from one meaningless crisis to the next. But God has a loving and grand plan through all of history, and he's preparing a people who will live with him for all eternity. Was it God's plan for Israel to return to the greatness it once held in the earlier days of the kings of David and Solomon? Those returning to Israel hope so, because they worshipped the great Creator God who allows second chances. They only had to think back to King Manasseh, who sat on the throne of Judah for 55 years. He was a very wicked king until he humbled himself before God and decided to follow God's way. God forgave him and then extended his reign. But when the people's journey ended at Jerusalem, their high hopes were dashed and turned into disappointment. They surveyed the broken down walls of the city, the destroyed buildings and wrecked temple. Disappointment must never lead to despair, defeat, or self-pity. As recorded in the second chapter of the book of Ezra, some of the heads of the families gave freewill offerings for the temple to be rebuilt on its site. After this, the people moved out to live in their own towns. But they returned to Jerusalem for the nation's worship celebrations, as listed in the Law of Moses. When all the preparations for the rebuilding of the temple were made, the people gathered together again to worship God and see the temple's foundation laid. The younger people shouted for joy that the work on the temple had started, but the old people who had seen Solomon's temple wept loudly. They were very disappointed that this new temple would be so much smaller than the one that was destroyed. How can we overcome the disappointments of life? No one ever gets everything they want in life. An attitude of thankfulness for what we do have, though, always helps. Also, for those who trust their lives to God, they have the added assurance that God has plans to bring good out of every bad situation He's permitted in their lives. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "We know that all things work together for good for those who loved God." When God knows that a certain situation could arise from which He would be unable to turn to good, He wouldn't permit it to happen. No matter what happens to you, God is committed to working good out of it, and because of that, it's possible to thank Him for everything that happens to you. While in a Nazi prison camp, Corrie ten Boom told her sister at prayer time one evening that she couldn't give thanks to God for all the fleas troubling them in their room. Much later, she found out that one of the reasons for the guards not mistreating them was that these very same fleas were protecting them and driving away the guards. From then on, Corrie frequently thanked God for those troublesome fleas. After the Bible, the world's second most read and published book is called Pilgrim's Progress, first printed in 1678. This story has been translated into 200 languages and has never been out of print. It's a story with both a literal and underlying meaning. A man called Christian sets out on a lifetime journey to go to heaven. Along the way, he meets a lot of people, most of whom try to stop him or make his journey even more difficult. The book's author, John Bunyan, grew up in England and earned his living by moving from place to place, repairing cooking pots and pans. In those times, only a few people could afford to buy a new pot when a hole appeared in the bottom of their old one. Before he was converted to Christ, John Bunyan had a reputation for using so many swear words that he constantly was swearing. But when John became a Christian, his habits also changed completely and he swore no longer. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossian church, he taught, "No insults or obscene talk must ever come from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have put off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self." In this same period of history, it depended on which religion the king of the country followed if preaching of men like Bunyan was made legal or not. For his insistence upon preaching in private meetings, John Bunyan spent a number of prison terms in the local jail. However, not everyone was sympathetic to the changing laws of the land. The old jailer was so impressed by Bunyan that he let Bunyan out of the jail in the evenings to attend meetings and preach. Then he let him back into jail when he returned. John Bunyan never broke the trust of the old man. During his periods in jail, John Bunyan wrote both parts of Pilgrim's Progress. In the second section of writing, Christian's wife, Christiana, and their children followed along the same path that Christian had followed. Although she met a new set of characters and achieved victory in reaching heaven, the second section is not as well known as the first. All of us are on a lifelong journey. God knows how many years each person will spend here on earth, yet we don't. We need to prepare for the next life now while we're able to. Some people, however, don't bother, but this is very foolish. The end of our earthly life takes us through the door of death into one of two eternal worlds, either heaven or hell. There's no middle place where the undecided can stay. The group of people heading for hell are proud, self-sufficient, and do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary to pay for their sins. Instead, they reject Him as their Savior. But the group of people going to heaven trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Redeemer from sin and believe the words of Scripture. Have you settled your eternal future yet? Pray to the Lord Jesus today and thank Him for all His blessings. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is